Hey everybody, Stefan here, host of the Farmers Market Podcast. I have some special guests on today's show, two students and one teacher who are attempting to bring agriculture into the classroom. You'll hear about their recent encounter with a bear, how an angel donor in their local community helped make a dream come true, and one teacher's passion in small-scale farming. It's going to be a great show, and you don't want to miss it. Now, be sure to leave a comment and let me know and let the guests know that you enjoyed their story. Sometimes it's easy just to hit the like button and go about your day, but the comments, they'll remember. Also, you can subscribe to the show on YouTube, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or iTunes, and leave a review about the show. Your review has the opportunity to be seen by thousands of people, and that helps the show grow and continue. Now, if you are a small farm or business owner and you would like to be on the show, leave a comment on the Facebook post or on YouTube, or you can go to my website at scafarms.com and click the podcast link. We have a lot of great shows coming up. I mean, we've got a lot of great farmers and small businesses here in the upstate of South Carolina. But, you know, I realize that we can all benefit from the experience and knowledge from farms and small businesses across the country and even the world. So no matter where you are, the invitation is open to you as well. Let me know if you'd like to be on the show. And guys, from my heart to yours, thanks for supporting the Farmers Market Podcast and enjoy this next episode.
Get ready for this.
Wow, I am blown away by the response I've been getting on Facebook.
Welcome to a brand new episode of
the Upstate's Farmers Market Podcast.
The following program is for adult audiences only.
You are listening to...
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me on the Farmers Market Podcast.
Relax and enjoy.
We are one of the few tea-growing farms in the United States.
Hi, this is Chris Thurman from BioWay Farm.
Hi, this is Kristen with Earth and Organics.
Hi, this is Mark Jones from Cedar Falls Farm.
Thanks for listening. And now your host...
Great day, everybody. My name is Stefan, and you're listening to the Farmers Market Podcast, the show that talks to farmers, homesteaders, beekeepers, craft makers, and much, much more right here in the upstate of South Carolina. We keep it fresh. We keep it local. Here we talk about all things farmers market related. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, and become a supporter of scafarms.com. That's the home base for my farm online and the Farmers Market Podcasts. Please share with all your friends on Facebook and other social channels, and let me know if there is a local farmer or business that you would like to hear on the show. Now, today's guests, that's right, we have more than one on this show today. All attend a charter school in the town of Salem, which is in Oconee County. Two are students and one is the teacher, instrumental in bringing an agricultural-based education program to students. Welcome to the show, Elsa, Trixie, and Chase of Next School Eagle Ridge.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's my pleasure. It's always great to have you guys on the show. Now, you can find these guys online at nextschooleagleridge.org. That's nextschooleagleridge, one word, .org. Now, tell me a little bit about what's going on at the school.
We are a charter school, and we part of the delay might be the fact that we are out in the boondocks. We are in Oconee County, in Salem, small community out here. And about 2 years ago, the school district decided to shut down the local school. And so the town basically kind of took it upon themselves to try and find someone to take over their school and have a local school. So they brought in a charter school from Greenville and established a new charter school. So we are 6th through 12th grade, a little over 100 students, and we are basically in our third year. This is our third year right now. And so we are pretty much supported primarily by the town, and we have a lot of involvement with our townspeople. And myself, I just moved here about 2 years ago, and Elsa is my daughter, and she and I, you know, started at the school, and I just teach there part-time, one class period a day. And Chase has actually lived here like all his life. And so he started when what, last year, the 2 years ago?
I was here the whole time.
But when did you start working on the greenhouse?
Last year.
So last year, he started working on a greenhouse project as part of his Eagle, Eagle project for Boy Scouts. And so basically, he kind of single-handedly, with the support of the community and school, built our greenhouse.
Wow.
And by the time I came along, we had a greenhouse and a couple of students who were interested in agriculture. And so we just kind of went from there. Last year was our first growing season. We sold, outside of the school, we sold at the Dollar General. We sold it at the Salem Farmers Market. We went to the Clemson Farmers Market, the Pickens Flea Market. We sold and sold and sold, and we finally sold over $2,000 worth of plants in the end. And that's what's helped to support our agriculture program this year. And we are looking to grow and keep, you know, moving forward with that. We started up with chickens, and right the day we got our egg license signed, a bear ate all of our chickens.
So this happened, this would have been, what, last year?
No, this is this year. This year.
Okay.
We hatched out chickens last year, raised them, kept them over the summer. We went to the school every other day, fed and watered them, take care of them.
Oh, my gosh. Well, but you just went through a ton of stuff. See, I've been doing this for less than 2 years, and I realize it seems like every day something is happening. You know, like there's an event, there's something. So you had a bear. Okay, wait, let's go. We're going to backtrack just a little bit. All right. So first of all, you're in the town of Salem, right?
Yes.
Okay, small town in Oconee County. And the school system at the time, this was 3 years ago, right? I think it was 3 years.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They said, you know what? We don't have enough funds to support the school. No school in this area, right?
Correct.
So if you weren't going, so if there was no school now, where would you be going instead? Where were all the kids in Salem going to have to go?
They'd have to go to Walhalla, which is about 25 minutes away.
Okay, so they'd have to go to Walhalla, but everybody in the town said, why can't we do a charter school here? So where exactly is the charter school based? Because it's going to set up my next question about the greenhouse and, of course, the bear and everything else. But where is the physical location of the school?
Well, it's in Salem, South Carolina, where the original school was.
Oh, okay. So you're utilizing the space still. You're just doing it on as a charter school.
Right. The town still owns the school and the school grounds.
Oh, so I see. Okay. All right. Now that sets up my next question about the greenhouse. So now I'm gonna pitch this to Chase. Right. It's Chase and Elsa. Make sure I got my name straight. But Chase, was it your? What was that?
I don't know. We got you there. We're back.
Okay. All right. Chase, this is my question to you. So did you come up with the idea of building the greenhouse, or was that somebody else's idea?
Well, I'd been thinking about an Eagle Scout project at the time, and then one of the local people in our community who's part of the school said he had a greenhouse frame in his backyard, and that was what I had been considering to do. And when he said he had a greenhouse frame, I knew that was what I was going to do. So he donated the greenhouse frame, and it went on from there, and we secured the funds and started building it.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. How big is this greenhouse?
It's 24 feet wide and 50 feet long.
Okay, it's a big one then. I mean, this is not a small structure. This is a decent size. I think they have one at Hillcrest, if I recall correctly, and then I think at Woodmont. Woodmont has a big greenhouse as well. So this is a pretty big greenhouse. If I had it on my property, I would do a lot of production. So this was, did you get your Eagle? Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the greenhouse was a part of this project. So you set off and said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. So tell me, just break it down. You guys are a charter school. It's not like you've got a ton of people that are just, you've got all these resources and these assets. So you're a small town. You're a small, small school. It's 100. You said 100 people. Is that right, Trixie?
Yeah, a little over 100.
100 people. And you got Chase in there going, hey, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a greenhouse on the property and we're going to grow vegetables. Is that what you said to everybody?
Pretty much. I just went to the Salem Town Council. I got it approved, asked everybody at the school what they thought about it. And I basically put up flyers around town asking for support, donations, and any help they could provide.
And how much money did you raise just to get this project started?
It cost roughly about $3,100, but luckily an angel donor for a family funded the whole project in a, what would you call it, suburban area around Salem.
That's awesome. And you presented this and they said, yeah, go for it if you can raise the money. And then you had an angel donor. So everything just kind of lined up perfectly for you to start this. Now, this is not an easy project for one person to do, I know. So you had some help, but what did your buddies think, like to the left and right of you? Surely you had some friends that you're like, hey, you guys are going to help me, or what was that like? And is, I'm guessing Elsa kind of jumped in here as well, but go ahead, Chase. Tell me, what was it like when you told everybody what you were going to do?
Well, everybody was really supportive because a lot of people like agriculture around here. So a lot of the people at the school were supportive. My friends were supportive because they like to have their own little gardens at their house and stuff. My dad, we have a garden at my own house, so I was really into it. My grandparents, just everybody I knew was really supportive of it.
So now has this broadened out? Now, Elsa, you've been a part of this program for how many years now?
This is my second year.
Second year. So, but this project's only been off the ground in the past 2 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what did you think? Now, obviously your mom's there. She wasn't teaching at the time. So you were enrolled in this charter school. First of all, what kind of school did you come from before?
I came from an online school.
Online school. Okay. Perfect, because we have done both with our kids. We have done both public, online, public. It's been back and forth. So we're very familiar with it. So what did you think when you went into the school and it's 100 kids? Not even 100 kids. Well, it's probably 100 in total. But what did you think when you went into the school, and then what did you think about the project?
I thought it was very different, and it was a new area to be coming from, like a city area down to a place with a population of less than 200 people. I thought it was very interesting that somebody would have made that kind of project, and I really wanted to get into it. So I joined agriculture.
So who, Chase, once you have this greenhouse project, okay, which teachers, and maybe you can jump in here, Trixie, which teachers jumped on board and said, hey, I'll sponsor, because typically you have a sponsor, right? An educator that's a sponsor of a project.
So I kind of came into the picture. Chase had already started his project, and I guess he had, like, the frame up by the time.
We had the frame up, but we didn't have anybody ready to plant any plants yet. But that's when Trixie came in, and that's when we started to actually start put the plastic on because we didn't want it to go bad.
All right, so you had the frame up. You really – there was no plan yet to do any kind of crops whatsoever. You're just trying to get it on the property.
Right. So he had that done in about the summer. That's, two summers ago. And then I joined the school in the fall. And that's when we really stepped up, started an agriculture program with the kids, and were able to, you know, kind of get everything started and going so that we were able to sell last year in the spring.
So fall of 2016 is when you came on board? Or fall of 2017.
Fall of 2017.
Oh, so it was okay. So you the greenhouse went up, Chase, in the summer of 2017.
Well, the frame, we had the frame up at one point, but Trixie wasn't at the school. I can't quite remember.
Oh, okay.
But the frame was up, and we were like trying to get the agriculture program going. That's why we kind of did the greenhouse.
I gotcha.
And then when Trixie came in, we saw a reason to put the plastic on so it would last longer. And when we put the plastic on, that's when we started planting the seeds and selling the plants.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. So Trixie, pick up the story. So you're coming in fall 2017. You see this greenhouse and somebody says, man, wish we could plant. And you're like, I'll volunteer. And I know how that works when you volunteer. so you pretty much own it at that point because nobody else is doing it, right? Is that kind of how it happened?
Right. So I teach full time online. And, you know, they were like, well, we really need, you know, a teacher for this one period a day. Can you come in? And I said, sure, I'll teach that. But then when the agriculture, I saw that as an opportunity. We moved to Salem because we wanted to start a homestead.
Okay.
We have 12 acres and all the animals. And we focus primarily on meat production here at home. So I kind of had that as a passion a little bit already. You know, that was why we moved to this area. And so it was just kind of an extension of what we were doing at home to kind of include the kids and bring it all in together. So that's when I volunteered and last year, I volunteered the whole year. We did that. And over the summer, we did a couple of activities. But then this year, we've actually been able to offer agriculture as a class for the students.
Yeah, that's great. So so you guys have your own farm. Is that right? You said you do a lot of meat production. Okay. So what's now that's a lot. I thought I was doing a lot. So you've got a farm where you're doing what kind of production?
We do primarily for our own purposes, but we have everything: pigs, cows, sheep, horses, goats, quail, rabbits, chickens, ducks, turkey.
Gotcha. Are you doing the gardening? Are you doing all that, or is it just meat?
Primarily, we focus on meat here, and we've had a garden, but we just haven't been very successful at it yet. It's been hard to kind of get the soil. Our pasture was not prepped and ready for that. And so we've been, you know, kind of piddling around with it, but we focus primarily on our meat production. And I do a lot of canning and things like that. So those are just a lot of the things I've been teaching the kids. We've done chicken processing. We've done rabbits. A couple of the kids are learning how to tan rabbit hides right now. So
in the course of instruction? I mean, like, this is a class. This is a bona fide class.
Right. Yeah.
See, this is you're like doing. Oh man, I'm kind of grinning from ear to ear. You're doing what our forefathers did to basically sustain life, but you're teaching these practices to kids, to young people who, let's face it, for the most part, most of these traditions, most of these things go to the wayside when our grandparents pass away. They just do. But you're able to do this in an education platform and give kids and how do they react to this? Because I know when I'm canning, there's a ton of cucumbers and oh boy, you know, and that's what, you know, they look at me like, you're going to do all of those. Yeah, got to. I don't know. I don't have any other time to do it. This is the time to do it at 10 o'clock at night. But so what do the kids think when you're showing them how to do this? Now, I would imagine you get different views from both boys and girls, but just, I mean, you're skinning rabbits. You're processing meat. What do they say?
It's pretty normal for a lot of them because, you know, being out here in a more rural area, they have grown up with, you know, their grandparents and parents doing that. Some of them haven't, you know, so it's the first time for them. But some of them, you know, a lot of them are already hunters, especially the guys. So, it's not too far off for them, but I try and teach them things that they can do just, you know, not just, you know, okay, we hunt it. Then what else can we do? Well, we can make bone broth and we can can it. And then we can, what are some other ways we can preserve it if we don't have, you know, refrigeration? And so we looked at salting meat and smoking meat. And, I mean, there are some kids who are fascinated by every little detail. Right. And then, like one time we had, the kids over here processing chickens. And, this one student, he comes running to me. He's like, do you know what you're, chicken cyst did? I was like, oh my gosh, what did they do? I'm expecting it to be something, you know, phenomenal. And he holds out his hand and there's an egg in it. He says, they just laid this.
Oh my gosh. Well, and I can imagine you're getting a lot of folks that are experiencing these things at their house. But I mean, I've been out in the country, and I'll say in the country, because we moved out of the subdivision in Simpsonville, and it was our first time kind of being out in the country, like where, you know, hunting on your land was okay. Where, you know, you can go out and shoot your gun and nobody's going to bug you.
But you get to see wildlife. I mean, I've seen, I don't know if it's called a gaggle or I forgot what it's called, with turkeys flying in. You know, I never was exposed. Flock. Yeah, flock. Yeah. There you go. I think it's geese is what I was thinking of. Anyway, yeah. So you got a flock of turkeys coming in. I'm in the deer stand, and they walk up, and I'm thinking, wait, these are wild turkeys. These are supposed to be hard to get. These are supposed to be hard to hunt. And I'm sitting here on my land experiencing this. So you've got kids that are growing up with that. But for the most part, I would think, even when I'm hunting, I don't know how to fully process a deer. I don't know how to skin and gut a deer. I don't. It's just I didn't grow up with it. And for you to be able to – even rabbits. We have rabbits. And I've tried to skin a few or kill a few, but they didn't, or harvest. The term is harvest. I've tried to do that, but they didn't want me to because the kit, you know, the kits look so cute and they're cuddly. I'm like, wait, I thought the purpose of us was to eat these guys, not to. So then we ended up we've bred them twice, and we ended up giving away the other rabbits. And it was kind of like, wait, I thought the whole point was sustainability, you know, and. Right. And the same thing with the chickens. Once they stop laying, I'm thinking, okay, it's time. You know, we got to do something with them. They're just eating food now. You know, when they don't. So I've tried to do that, but my wife says, no, I like those. I love the way they look. So now they become pets. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. You know, so. Yeah. But anyway, so you've got all walks of life as far as in the country out there. Everybody that's done everything to people who, like you just said with the student that was coming up saying, hey, look at this egg. I can't believe she laid this. Yeah, that's right. That's what they do. So, wow, this is okay. So you've only been doing this for less than 2 years, and you're teaching them basically you're teaching them sustainability, and you're teaching them basically how to take something from a very young animal, young plant, and how to grow all the way to harvest. And then there's the business side of it. Do you touch on that a little bit when you're teaching students? I mean, obviously that principle comes up because if you're selling, you've got to know your expenses and your revenue, right?
Right. So we're definitely getting more into that this year. You know, last year it was just kind of like trying to get everything up and going and, you know, kind of trying to look at comparable prices. And, you know, in our area, we're pretty rural. So, you know, we have a smaller market, but, you know, so word of mouth is really important. So we've just had to kind of figure out, you know, kind of as we go along. Pretty much.
No, that's good. I mean, and I think that's how most people get into farming. I mean, you start the first year and your mindset is, okay, we got to grow. We got to figure out how to grow. You're just like, okay, here's some seed. What do I need to do to my soil? What's it need to look like? How much watering? What's the timing? So all your focus is on, can we actually grow something? And that's how I was my first year, was like, you know, I think I can grow, but I don't know until actually I see it and watch it. And then the second year I'm finding out, oh, succession planting. Oh, that's a whole new concept. I guess I need to do that if I want to have produce and vegetables every week available for people to have and to buy and to take to the market. So that's the second stage that I'm learning. And then obviously it's then, okay, developing those systems so that everything is kind of clockwork and predictable. So that way, when you guys do go to the market, and I'm guessing you guys went in the probably towards the latter part of the school year, you're probably in the early, April.
Yeah, May. We were doing, I think we started as soon as March. Once we got things up and running, you know, we were able to really kind of go through pretty well into May. Well, by May we were selling lettuce that we were growing.
What are all the crops that you guys are growing right now?
So right now we don't have a whole lot growing, because what I'm also finding is a little bit of a struggle is trying to figure out grow season and school season.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like how those things kind of work together. So right now we just kind of have like some kale, some radishes, beets, those things going.
Those are standards. Those are things that'll grow no matter what.
Right. We, our plan had been to kind of focus on our chickens for the fall.
All right, here we go. Yeah, this is the story about the chickens. Okay, so you were thinking chickens in the fall, and then you'd have them producing eggs in the spring, right?
Right. So we actually hatched them. We hatched last year, and they were starting to lay. We've been getting, what, about 3 eggs a day, more or less.
Where do the chickens stay? Where are they at?
The kids built tractors, and they were at the back of the school with the with our garden area.
Okay, so you have – okay, all right, I got it. So you got tractors. So and there's a pen of some sort to keep them from wandering all over the place?
Right, so they're in the tractors, and the tractor is has got fencing all around it, so we can move it.
Okay. It's got the mobile fencing that you can just pick up. Okay, great. So now you're basically rejuvenating the soil that they're on, and you're just moving and rotating them. And then that's obviously increasing the grass yield, I would imagine, year to year.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay,
That was our goal there, was to be able to move the chickens through the garden, using them to fertilize and till the soil, all of those things for us. And just as they started laying, we lost one to a predator, and we were kind of like, okay, what is this? What, you know, what do we think has gotten, our chicken here? And,
How big is the flock? How many chickens do you have?
I think I've got a dozen, a little over a dozen by the time we, we had about a dozen, lost one. So we moved them into, we had them around the perimeter of the garden, and we moved them into the garden to give it an additional fencing area. And we came in actually on the day we were going to process rabbits, harvest rabbits. And I looked down, and the garden gate is, you know, been torn open, and the sides of both of the tractor had been torn open.
Oh my gosh.
All of our chickens were dead and gone. And so, so we all kind of go down there, and I'm with the kids, and we're looking, and I look down, and I see this track, and Chase is an avid hunter, and he's killed bear before. And I look at Chase, and I said, "Is this what I think it is?"
Oh my gosh.
And he says, "Yep, that's a bear." And so at that point I was like, "Okay, everybody back up to the top."
Yeah, no kidding. Chase, what were you thinking when you were seeing all this destruction? Were you immediately going, "Oh, I think I know what this is"?
Oh, I found black fur on it before, but I told my dad, and he just like thought maybe it was a dog or something. But the way the brush was, or the wire was mangled, I thought it might have been a bear, but I didn't. I'd been seeing a fox around there lately, but I'd never seen a bear. So when I went down there and they were all dead, I was pretty surprised that a bear actually came up there and killed them all.
And that's kind of rare, isn't it? I know they've been creeping down from the foothills down this way, because we had a bear sighting not too long ago. I think it was in Lawrence County or on the southern tip of Greenville. But for you guys to have that, that's pretty rare, isn't it?
No, it's pretty often.
We have a lot of bears.
Really? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I did not realize that. Oh my gosh. Well, I guess you guys are further west, so that would make sense.
We're really still technically in the Appalachian Mountains. We are, you know, we've got a number of bear sightings and things like that. And Chase is, where'd you kill your bear?
Behind my house.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Did you get that thing mounted?
Yeah.
That's what I said. The first kill I have of anything, I always get it mounted. That's awesome. Wow. Okay, so the chickens are no longer. So that was this year. So next year, no eggs?
So we hatched out a few more chicks. We just got 4 little chicks right now. But our goal is to the kids want to get into dairy goats. So we've been fencing in an additional area down at the garden, and we're going to put electrical wire around the entire thing in order to try to deter any predators. We realize that it won't stop the hungriest bear, but we're hoping that it will serve as enough of a deterrent. So,
wow. Okay. Well, you guys know about PK Creamery, right? She does dairy goats.
Yes. Yes. We at home, we really enjoy her cheese. It's one of our favorites. So
right.
We're looking at, as soon as we finish our fencing in our area, we'll be, you know, purchasing some goats for the kids and kind of getting started in that direction. But the bear kind of set us back because we weren't prepared for that cost of having to, you know, fence in an additional area, getting the electrical wire, getting, you know, a charger and all those kinds of things. So we've just kind of been holding off on getting more chickens until we have that area more secure, because we don't have many options for space. You know, we really only have this area behind the school where we have our garden. And so we just want to try and secure that as much as possible in hopes that we can, you know, kind of grow maybe a more permanent chicken area rather than the chicken tractors. I mean, although we love the idea of using the chicken tractors, it's just makes it harder to make it a secure space for them.
Right. Tell me this, because Chase, you're graduating. This is going to be your final year. So what is your vision? I'm going to kind of ask each one of you guys the same question. But Chase, what would you like to see, or what would you like to maybe come back a year from now and see what happens with the program? What's your vision?
Imagine that they would have a good, very good program running with, like she said, the dairy goats, a good supply of chickens that can be maintained, a good garden that they get every year, and the greenhouse still running and still funding the garden every, or the ag program every year.
Awesome. And then Elsie, what about you? You'd be in this program for the next, I think you said you were a sophomore, is that right? Or a freshman?
No.
Or eighth grade?
I'm in eighth grade.
That's
I'm
right.
in eighth grade.
So you would probably see this, as long as you guys stay there in Salem, you could probably see this all the way until you graduate as well. What would you like to see?
I'd like to see many more kids in the program, because we only have about 15 students in right now. I'd hope that more children would be, well, the school and more of the community come in and want to get involved with it.
But you know what? I kind of look at, well, that's a great idea, and that's a great goal to set. I kind of look at children kind of the same way I do my crops. I don't know if that's good or bad, but you grow them, and then you kind of, you let them do their thing, and then at some point they're ready to harvest, or they're ready to leave the nest. See, I have four kids. Three are kind of out of the house, and one's still in the house. So I have kind of seen the process, and so it's great to have kids in the program. But I think having kids, 15, man, that's a great group of folks to have working a quote unquote small farm. To have a crew of 15 that's dedicated, if you can maintain that rotation each and every year, I think you're going to be very successful. And Elsie, I couldn't agree with you more about getting more kids involved, especially the folks that are there local. I mean, they're learning things that they can actually apply in the real world experience. And then Trixie, I'm going to ask you as the educator and the one that is basically spearheading this educational program for the kids, what's your vision? I mean, you've got a big, big role to play, and I would imagine you've got some lofty goals.
Well, I mean, I think I'd like to see the school grow more, because as the school grows, then, you know, our enrollment in the program can grow. And I mean, I'd like to see us be able to offer, you know, more agricultural classes. You know, I'm just one person, and it'd be great for us to be able to grow to the point where we have, you know, can have a full-time agriculture person and, you know, have more and more community involvement. We, you know, love and appreciate all of the people who've helped us get to this point, but, you know, we need their support every year. And so, you know, having some of our community members, you know, whether it's bringing their own students to the school or, you know, buying something from us, you know, as far as the flowers or crops that we're growing, then, you know, just continuing to have their support and to grow the program altogether.
Now, how can people support you guys directly? I mean, obviously they can buy your food and produce. So how can they get involved if they want to support you, both by purchasing or by donating or just finding out more about you guys? How can they get involved?
So we have, you know, our school website, it's nextschooleagleridge.com. org, and you know they can donate to the school there. We are a charter school, so that means we don't get any local funds. We get state and federal, but we don't get any county funds. So that means that the amount of money we can spend per student is lower. But it gives us a lot more freedom in some other areas, like me being able to teach agriculture and teach some of the things that we've been learning and kids have been doing, and really being able to focus on the small town and what's important to us and what's important to the students. So they can definitely do that, or coming out and buying plants and just we do have a Facebook as well, so they could kind of check out some of the things that we're doing at the school there. So those would be the easiest ways to kind of help support us.
Well, thank you, Trixie, Elsa, and Chase, and thank you for sharing a little bit more about Next School, Eagle Ridge, and the agricultural program. Go Eagles! Now be sure to check them out online and share this episode with everybody you know. Your support as a listener is key, and most importantly, support your local farms, farmers, and businesses. Until the next time, my name is Stefan, and you've been listening to the Farmers Market Podcast. Keep it fresh, keep it local.
If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes. And while you're there, please leave us a rating and review.